Welcome to Real GM Radio. I'm Daniel Rue, your host. So happy to have you with us for this episode. I wanted to do a two-part playoff preview, and this is, I guess, the second part because Arturo recorded second, but they're two self-contained pieces. The first one was with Seth Partnow. This is with Arturo Galletti, formerly of the Wages of Wins. His current site is Arturo's Basketball Numbers, basketballnumbers.com. Friend of the show. I really love talking to him, and we go through not only the first round of the playoffs, but we do a little bit looking forward and also get into some of the interesting topics regarding reseeding and playoff reform. I really enjoyed the conversation. I will have timestamps on this. You should be able to see them on iTunes. You should definitely be able to get them on realgm.com on the link there. I hope you enjoy it. Always love talking with Arturo. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's nice to be on. It's good to be on and kind of bask in the glory of how much we love the Hawks in the preseason.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about at some point if we can ever take the time to go back and listen to it, to go through that and see how we did. I think we did pretty well. But we'll start with the playoffs themselves. I think considering you're on the eastern side of the United States, we'll start with the East. And for me...
The NBA TV playoff conference?
Yeah, the NBA TV playoff conference. To me, the real place that we start there is, are there, other than Washington, Toronto, are there any of the first round matchups that you see having a reasonable chance of having an upset?
Well, I mean, a lot of people on Twitter, we were arguing lines on Twitter. So like, so for the listeners, we're looking at like the Vegas lines. We're going to be referring to them. And so right now the Bucks are plus 500. That means you bet 100, you win 500 on them. A lot of people were excited about that. Here's the thing. If you actually look at the matchup between those two teams, the Bucks are actually built to beat the Hawks, right? They have all this length. They went out and got guys who are long, can switch and whatnot, and that's great, and that works against like the Spurs or the Hawks. Even the Warriors will give them some trouble. The Bulls don't play that. The Bulls are a traditional style post lots of big guys team, and the Bucks really don't have the size to match up for that. And the counter to that is, well, you know, Tibbs has driven this team into the ground. They'll get hurt. And I'm the one, I've flown that banner for the entire season with the Bulls, and the thing is, weirdly, they got hurt during the season. They're kind of healthy now. Now, somebody will get hurt, but that doesn't really favor the Bucks, because, you know, and if you've been watching, when one of the big men gets hurt on the Bulls, they have to go to more Mirotic. And actually, more Mirotic is a good thing. So this is kind of a really bad matchup. And if you actually look at the splits for the series, it's kind of bad. And also, the Bucks aren't quite the same team as they were when they had Brandon Knight. So it's a very kind of, you know, as much as I wish I could say, I love the Bucks early. I'm the one who, like, I would tweet out their Eastern Conference Championship odds. It's a pity they lost to Jabari. It's a pity they don't have Brandon Knight. I don't think they can do it in the series. And here's the other thing, and I tweeted this last night, and see if you agree with me, Danny. Who do you think I think is going to be the MVP of the series for the Bulls?
I would guess Powell.
No, it's Joey Crawford.
Oh, God.
Because I do think that the Bulls get every single 50-50 call in the series. There's absolutely no way that the league wants the Bulls in round two. They're the older veteran team. They got Powell. Powell will get every single questionable call in the series will go Powell's way. And I mean, I love the Bucks. The Bucks are nice. They'll play tough defense, but this is a bad series for them. Like they're facing these guys who are veterans and we were talking just before we started recording, and I was saying that the best analogy for this Bulls team, to me, is the 2006 Heat, right? So a team that kind of like sleptwalked a little bit through the season, they had their trouble, and they kind of, you know, rounded into shape coming into the playoffs. They got the bets. They got the former Kobe sidekick, who really wasn't the sidekick, but actually the main guy who wants another ring. And, you know, they got, they're all pros. It's a team of professional basketball players. And here's the thing. I think the Bucks will be around for the next decade or so, but this is a good learning experience for them.
Do you think that the Nets or the Celtics have a reasonable shot? I was surprised that when we're looking at the odds that the Celtics pay out about twice as much as the Nets. I think that the Celtics probably have a better shot.
I love the Celtics plus. The Celtics are plus 1,500. That means they're 15-1 to win. And you're basically betting 15-1 odds that that LeBron gets hurt. Here's the thing. The Celtics are built to stop that ISO offense, right? The way for the Cavs to beat the Celtics is to run the offense through Kevin Love and run it through the post. The Cavs, I don't know that they're going to do that. It's going to be really interesting. They have a lot of guys who are like not experienced. Where I said the Bulls were the 2006 Heat, I think the Cavs are more analogous to the 2008 Celtics. They have all these guys. They really haven't been together in the playoffs. LeBron has the experience, but a lot of these guys don't. And I do think this is a really tough series because they're going to be out. Like, I think Brad Stevens is a better coach than David Blatt, or at least a more experienced coach in terms of the NBA. They run smart. They play tough D on the ISO. So they'll play tough D on the guards. And, you know, it'll take LeBron going to the post or Love going to the post to beat them. I do think this series, you know, this series, and people were making fun of Simmons. Simmons was saying it was going to go six. I do think I like six. I'm probably going to like the money line on this, like the points on the Celtics in every game. And I like that 15-1 just because, like, as I said, you're betting on a LeBron injury. Could the Cavs fall apart in the series? Yeah, I mean, you could be sitting there and this thing goes seven. And people's like, again, this is not me saying that I think the Cavs are getting out of the East and winning, right? Or like winning the East. But this is a much tougher series than people think. And it's just a really bad matchup for the Cavs. I mean, I think they would have been much happier getting the Nets or the Bucks, basically. This is a bad matchup for them.
So then I think we pretty much have it set in terms of the actual winning those series. How do you see Toronto-Washington shaking out?
We were talking about this as well. So it comes down to the following fact. Like, the best player to me on the Wizards, and according to my numbers, it's Martin Gortat. For some reason, Whitman, or Witless, as some people call him, doesn't like playing Gortat. Now, the Wizards should beat the Raptors. The Raptors have been terrible in the second half of the season, post the All-Star break. The Wizards clearly are better, but the Wizards don't get out of their own way. They run, they're like painful to watch. This is like the bad this is like the ultimate bad coach matchup. Have we ever had a playoff series with like, I mean, wait, did Vinny Del Negro play Scotty Brooks?
Yes, at one point? I think they did once.
Yeah, I mean, I watch, and you've watched, I know you've watched a fair amount of Wizards, and it's almost like hate watching that team. I mean, again, I view it as it's a really talented team. It has all the pieces, but the coaches just don't get out of the way. So, again, the Wizards should have been to the conference finals last year, but they didn't. They should win this series, but I don't trust them. So as much as that line is kind of attractive, gun to my head, I would go with Wizards in this series, but I would really hate myself and I would worry about that bet the entire series because I just know this team.
Yeah, and so then the way that applies into the next round is that I think we're probably in line that you wouldn't feel comfortable picking either of those teams against Atlanta. So in some ways it's more of like a short-term thing in that it's a lot easier of a road for the Hawks.
So actually, here's the thing. I've heard this. We haven't talked. We talked about the three series. We haven't talked about the Hawks and Nets. And they're like, oh no, the Nets won't give the Hawks problems. And I've heard the other side, which is like they have the worst point differential of any team to win that many games. And so I play fantasy basketball, and I keep track of the fact that the Hawks haven't really played like full speed since like before the All-Star break. Right, so yeah, you can talk about their point differential, but that kind of belies the fact that like really this is a really talented team that just hasn't been playing their guys. I worry a little bit about the Millsap injury, but the seas have parted for this team. Like the Nets and then the winner of the Raptors in Washington are like the three worst possible the three best possible matchups they could have gotten. Like the four teams that are dangerous to them in the East are all in the other bracket. So Cleveland, Boston, Chicago, and Milwaukee are the teams that would give the Hawks fits. And they got the Nets, coached by like Hollins, who coaches a bit of a relic kind of style of basketball. And then you've got the two worst coaches and two teams that are kind of floundering. So Atlanta will walk to the conference finals.
I agree with that for the most part. But then that leaves us with a very, very compelling...
So if I put a gun to your head and I said, how many games are the Hawks losing before the conference finals? How many games would you say?
Two.
Yeah, so you're with me. I think it's 5-5, and it's mostly because I think that they might even rest players in these. Coach Bud will be like Pop, which he'll rest guys in these two series.
Yeah, and right. They benefit from the 2-2-1-1-1 format. I think that. Yeah. They can lose one of the road games. They'll already have a 2-0 lead. Maybe in one of the series, maybe against the Nets, they'll have a 3-0 lead, and then they'll just close it out at home. And no muss, no fuss, no drama. But that leaves us with a very, very compelling Cavs-Bulls second-round series.
To me, that's interesting because Whereas I think the Bulls dispatched the Bucks, so I don't know who the Bulls are going to be in the second round. Now, is this a team that hates their coach and is exploding, or is this a team of professionals that's just going to kind of gel? I do think that the Bulls, if healthy, are kind of maybe the most dangerous team out of the East. I think the problem kind of still lies there, which is they don't have any good guards, right? Like outside of Jimmy Butler, they don't have anything at guard. And people are, oh, Derrick Rose hasn't been good all season. And Derrick Rose is an injury waiting to happen. So I don't trust him. I mean, I like him, but I don't trust him, right? And he just hasn't been that great. Now, if he can miraculously summon the ghost, but we've seen this story before. So, you know, I mean, the road for the Bulls is through their bigs, and I do think it's an advantage because nobody has their size. And I do think that if they get into Cleveland, their style of basketball favors the playoffs. So the Bulls will mug everybody. And I think the Wizards will go their way. So the playoffs does favor a more defensive approach and a more rougher approach. So I do think that the Cavs, as I said, I think the Cavs could be in trouble in the first round. I think they'd be in real trouble in the second round. I think it's going to be kind of important that the Cavs got the home court in this series. And, you know, this is a real test to see if LeBron hasn't really been himself all season. Mm-hmm. This is a real test to see whether or not, you know, LeBron still has. Well, LeBron should dispatch this team, right? He should be able to beat the Bulls.
But fortunately for them, he doesn't have to be the defensive monster, though obviously it would help. I think that his role in that series will be more as being the guy who keys their offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, so who's stopping, so I think the key is, who's stopping Pau Gasol in the series, right? So I think if it's a Bulls versus Cavs, I think the issue is going to be that I don't know that the Cavs have anybody they can put on Pau that can effectively stop him, right? Particularly if Noah's there as well, then it becomes like, you know, and again, if I were coaching the Bulls, I'd be going like Pau, I'd be going Noah, Pau, and Mirotic. And just kind of like, I don't think if you put those three guys on the floor, I don't think that the Cavs have any defensive answer for those. Like, what would you, if you're David Blatt and like the Bulls roll with those three guys, what do you do?
I think you put LeBron on Nikola Mirotic, you put Love on Noah because Noah isn't Noah right now, and then your best shot, I think, is Timofey on Pau Gasol. But as you said, that's not a great shot, but I think it's your best one.
You know what's underrated, and an underrated part of Deion Waiters' trade, which is going to be important in that series, is Perk. I think Perk and his five fouls is going to be really important. Like they're going to need Kendrick Perkins in a series against the. They're going to need somebody. They're going to need, like, Mozgov is going to get into foul trouble. Like LeBron's going to get gassed, and Perk will play significant minutes in this series. I think the Cavs win. And I think actually, like, Perk will kind of make a defensive contribution in that series.
Yeah,
and
I think it's really
kind of OKC basically kind of like if the Cavs win the title, they should send the ring to Sam Presti because he took Deion Waiters off their hands. He helped them get Shumpert. He helped them get two wing defenders.
And Mozgov.
He helped Mozgov, and he gave them Perk, who, like, here's the thing. If Perk is your starting center, you're not in good shape. But if Perk is your 10th guy coming off the bench who's coming in to, like, just mug somebody, he's perfect for the playoffs. He's like a poor man's version of Reggie Evans. He's perfect for the playoffs. Yeah.
And he's not going to get crunch time minutes for them, so you don't have to worry about the Cleveland equivalent of Perky Fish.
You know, I mean, like he's not going to shoot the ball, but I mean, like he, David Blatt's not Scottie Brooks, and you know, LeBron's not going to let it happen. But he's perfect. I mean, in that series, he's going to be perfect for size. I mean, and you're going to need those fouls. It's very stealth on the radar. I think the Cleveland Chicago series is going to be really close. It's going to come down. And it's going to come down to like the little things. And again, having a decent backup center is really important when you're faced with the Bulls side. So I do think the Cavs win that series, right? Although, again, it's Cleveland, so anything could happen.
So then, if you see the Hawks, as I do, as being a pretty reliable bet on the other side, how do you think that either series, a Bulls-Hawks or a Cavs-Hawks, I know that you have the Cavs, would have the Cavs as the favorite in that series, but what about, just kind of paint both pictures.
I wouldn't. So here's the thing. I like the Hawks at 350, and I would probably Like, I think I would probably like the Hawks in that series against the, like, I want to see how it plays out, but I would probably like the Hawks in that series.
Interesting.
And because, okay, so who's covering? So one, it's like, so we're relying on J.R. Smith to stay sane. That's an underrated kind of, like, and I think, like, you know, so J.R. would have to be going, so he's going Boston, then Chicago, then Atlanta, then Golden State, and he's not getting into trouble in any of these cities. That's interesting, and well, I think that...
And they have Shumpert, too, I think could be useful.
Well, I think the issue is, like, I've seen the Hawks take care of the Cavs. I've seen the Hawks just take them out, and I think that the Hawks, that Spurs style of motion is going to be problematic for the Cavs to cover. You know, I do think that it's an interesting series. I would favor... I mean, the only reason I'm not, like, 100% on the Hawks is because they've never been there before. But again, it's the same thing with the Cavs. The Cavs really haven't been there before. I do think that in the end, so in a Cavs Hawks series, who gets the calls?
The Cavs do.
The Cavs do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that in the end is going to be the difference in that series. As much as I think the Hawks would probably, I mean, I could see a series where the Hawks outplay them and the Cavs win, and I think that's kind of where my head. So gun to my head, I would pick the Cavs to go to the final. But again, I mean, like, I would pick the Cavs, but if I'm getting any kind of odds on the Hawks, I would take the Hawks.
And what do you think about a potential Chicago Atlanta conference finals? I don't think we're going to see it, but if we did,
I mean, the same thing. I think Chicago gets every call. I think that's a more interesting series because I think Atlanta does have enough size to match up with Chicago, and I think what they'll do, Coach Bud will take a page out of the Pop playbook against Memphis. He'll lock down the post and dare them to shoot from outside, and if that's the case, I think the Bulls are an easier matchup for the Hawks because you can basically. You can defend the Bulls like you would defend Memphis, and just basically you're in essence just telling Derrick Rose, go ahead, shoot as much as you want, right? And again, where that could be interesting is can he summon the ghost? I think that's an effective play, and I would take the Hawks in that series because of what I mean, like, because I do think that you can that the Hawks have the personnel to take the Bulls out of their game,
yeah.
Whereas I don't think the Cavs have the personnel to take the Bulls out of the game.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. Anything else in the East before we move into the more fun conference?
So if you had to pick, a team that isn't Atlanta, Cleveland, or Chicago to make the finals out of the East, who would you pick?
The NBA finals or the conference finals?
The NBA finals.
I guess I'd say the Wizards, but I'd feel terrible. My stomach is just wrenching from it.
I would go with President Brad Stevens and the Celtics. If I had to pick another team that's not one of those three, it would be Boston. But again, I wouldn't feel good. I mean, like, well, I mean, again, I might feel good because I might be getting something ridiculous like 200-1 odds. But yeah, I mean. That's I think it's more like, because I think Milwaukee just has Milwaukee fell in the wrong bracket. If Milwaukee was sitting in the other bracket, then I'd like them a hell of a lot more. So if they're in the 4-5, I'd like them a lot more. I think having to go through Chicago then Cleveland is not good. Now Boston, if Boston got through Cleveland, then that kind of becomes interesting because, like, I could see Chicago exploding. So, but the only way Boston could do it is, I mean, it would have to be like LeBron gets hurt. Somebody in Chicago gets hurt, right? Or, like, they just basically quit on the coach. Like, they've done this kind of thing before, and then something happens with Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel comfortable picking Boston to win any of those series, but I guess it's a big stretch for me.
I mean, and I know I'm going to sound like a homer, but it's like if I'm looking at it, we're picking between the five other teams in the, like, Brooklyn has no shot. And Milwaukee just fell on the wrong side, and I don't like Toronto and Washington are just like, no.
Okay, so let's move on to the more fun conference, and yes. I like to start with the most interesting first-round series, which is Clippers-Spurs.
So, I was hearing the talking heads on my TV. They were saying that, like, the second and third best team are playing each other in the first round, and I would agree with that. I think San Antonio.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, too. I tweeted it today.
San Antonio, and again, so everybody's clear on this. The Clippers are the higher seed, but Vegas and we think that San Antonio is the favorite of the series.
Absolutely.
So the Clippers winning this series would be an upset. So, I mean, San Antonio's just been amazing. I don't think I've had this discussion with you. So I was saying that, like, Pop has basically spent the second half of the season kind of prepping his game plan to play the Warriors by turning the offense over to Kawhi, right? Which just creates all sorts of matchup problems for everybody. Now, if we look at just the top three, the Clippers' top three is amazing. Like, DeAndre, actually, their top four, which is Chris Paul, DeAndre, Blake, and J.J. Redick have been amazing. Everything else after that is an atrocity, right? The Clippers are just like, you know, I mean, and I was saying this on Twitter, which is like, they have four guys on that will get minutes in this playoff series that their former teams were glad to see go, right? So you've got Big Baby, you've got Hedo, you've got Austin, who basically the Celtics were going to send to the D League, right? And you've got Hawes, right? And, you know, those guys are getting crunch time minutes against the Spurs. Whereas the Spurs are just, like, solid, and they're kind of rounding into shape. I think the sneaky, tricky thing in this series is, like, how healthy is Thiago, right? Like, I think having Thiago healthy is key. Because if the Spurs have Thiago healthy, and they're basically, if they've got Thiago and Tim, and then Kawhi and Danny, like, defensively, they're just going to destroy you. Right, and I don't think that the Clippers can do it. The other thing is, like, underrated. Like, Clippers never get any calls, and they're not going to get calls in the series. And the Spurs, you know, the Spurs at this point have been here before, and Kawhi is just a problem.
Yeah.
Right. So
even though the Clippers don't have a true guy to have Kawhi shut down, that makes him be able to play safety and just wreck everything.
They'll put him on Blake.
Yeah, I think they will for stretches.
They'll put him. Actually, I think he's gonna. I think Kawhi is gonna be on Chris Paul.
Yeah, Danny Green's good on point guards too. I think
they'll switch him off and they'll basically just get the ball out of Chris Paul's hand. Which will, I mean, like, if you that I think is what they're gonna basically do. What the Clippers do to the Clippers like to take out your best player. So
yep,
the Clippers.
That's what they did against the Warriors last year.
Yeah, that's what they try to do. And what the Spurs are going to do the same thing. They're going to attack Chris Paul, and basically they'll let Blake take mid-range jumpers, and they'll take DeAndre out. So they'll basically say, look, we're going to take these three guys out, I'm sure, like, what they'll do is they'll have one of Kawhi and Danny on Chris Paul, and the other one will be on Redick. And so if the fifth guy on the floor for the Clippers can beat you, if Austin Rivers can beat them, then yeah. And I think, and underrated, I think that the fact that Patty Mills is actually starting to look like Patty Mills, because that gives him another, like, a fifth decent defender, that kind of just puts him in the I don't think San Antonio loses. I mean, San Antonio's been plus 15 over the last month and a half. And again, here's the thing. The Clippers have been, like, plus 12. So it's not that the Clippers are bad. I mean, as I said, I think if the Clippers were in the East, they would be prohibitive favorites to win the East. Is there a team in the East that could beat the Clippers?
I mean, the Cavs and the Hawks could, but I don't know. But they wouldn't be favored. You're right. I mean, that's just the way you phrase it. But yeah, I think that's a very astute point there.
I mean, the Clippers would be the one seed in the East, and I wouldn't want. And we'll talk a little bit about, like, we see the playoffs in a bit, but I think the Clippers, you know, they have a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
That this series is happening. Let's talk nitty gritty. I think the Spurs win this series in, so this is a 2-2-1 format. So I think the Spurs win in six.
Same here. That's what I think. I think an interesting way of thinking about that side of the bracket is to think about the next two matchups in tandem, which is Houston-Dallas, but then do you feel that the winner of Clippers-Spurs, whoever it is the odds-on favorite against the Rockets, which is the way I feel?
Well, so here's the thing. Again, we talked about this, like, and I've seen a bunch of Clippers versus Houston and San Antonio versus Houston games. They basically just locked down Harden and forced the ball out of his hand. Now, here's the caveat to this, right? So is Dwight? And Dwight's looked good since he came back. So if Dwight is Dwight, then remember what I said about the health of Thiago Splitter. If Thiago Splitter is healthy, then they can kind of handle. If it's Tim on Dwight, then it's a real problem. It becomes a real kind of dogfight. And Houston has given San Antonio problems with Dwight in the last few years. So it becomes a more interesting series to that. I still think San Antonio wins because, again, they'll take the ball out of Harden's hands. So it's the same thing, the same problem on the Clippers. So Clippers San Antonio, who's covering Kawhi?
Clippers San Antonio, Matt Barnes, I guess.
And you think Matt Barnes is going to be able to cover Kawhi?
No, of course not. That's why the Spurs are going to win the series in six.
So Houston, San Antonio, who's covering Kawhi?
Ariza,
right?
And that's a lot better.
Yeah, but then, so, and who's on Danny Green? Like, they're going to miss, the problem is like, so the trick is going to be that they miss Beverly in that series.
Yeah.
So the problem with Houston is, so they have Dwight, they're going to take the ball out of Harden's hand, and they're going to really miss Beverly because, like, they can't cover Danny Green and Kawhi. Like, somebody's going to be open for three in that series for the Spurs. I do think Houston, San Antonio could be really interesting. I think Houston, so if it's Houston Clippers, I think it's actually a worse matchup if it's for Houston, because then it's Chris Paul, and who's covering Chris Paul? Is Harden covering Chris Paul? Is Pablo Prigioni?
Jet's probably guarding him.
Oh, really?
And that's a train wreck, unmitigated train wreck.
See, so if it's Clippers, Houston, then Chris Paul is so do they?
He's getting 20 and 15 in a lot of games.
So they gave out the MVP trophy in the second round or the first round?
Probably at the beginning of the second.
So basically, you could have a situation where it's Clippers, Houston, and Harden gets the MVP trophy in LA, and Chris Paul is just insanely mad for the rest of the series, and just goes bonkers.
I mean, he'll do that anyway. He's insane. But yeah, I would love that series. I think a Clippers Rockets series would be substantially more fun than Spurs Rockets, because Spurs Rockets would just be done with, not a whimper, because the Rockets are plenty good, but it would be not as exciting and contested.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, like, San Antonio is going to have a coaching advantage in that second round, and I think what's underrated is that I do think that San Antonio is going to have a coaching advantage against the Clippers, because I think Pop knows Doc, and you know, and like, Doc hasn't pleased me with his assistant. Like, he basically keeps getting all these bad coaches and putting them on his bench.
And he doesn't make adjustments. That was something I noticed against the Warriors. Was actually the last question I ever asked Mark Jackson, was about why he wasn't making adjustments when Doc wasn't, and then they weren't doing anything with their sub rotations or anything like that. Yeah. And they won anyway because the Warriors were flawed, but because Bogut was out.
So actually, we skipped the team. So,
okay, yeah, Rockets, Mavs.
So Houston, Dallas. So have you noticed? So if I asked you what the problem with the Mavs was, what would you say right now?
There are a couple things. I think one has been that because when Parsons has been limited, what they're getting from the small forward position has been worse than they expected. Dirk hasn't been what he had been previously. And their point guard play has been inconsistent is probably too polite.
Well,
it's been shaky.
Rondo's actually kind of back. Here's the problem. I agree with the Dirk thing is kind of a real problem, because Dirk just hasn't been Dirk. But the big problem is, like, Monte and Rondo don't work together. And when Monte is out, Rondo is Rondo. And this is a real problem, because honestly, they might be better off just going being with, like, Rondo and Barea, right? And this is but this is kind of like, so I think weirdly, if I were Carlisle, I'd probably go Rondo and Barea and be able to get away with it because of the fact that, like, Beverly isn't there. So the second guard is either going to be Jet or Prigioni, right? So, but I don't know that they're going to go that way. And I think that, like, as much as I like Carlisle, I think this is just a bad series. Because I do think that, so what are you going to do with Harden? Are you going to put Aminu on him?
I guess I would. I mean, you can't do that all the time, because you can't play Rondo and Aminu together. Yeah, because then you're just going to be fiery death from everywhere. But I think
if you have Aminu, you pray
to the god of Tyson Chandler, right? You just hope that he's gonna beat the crap out of Harden enough that he won't get as many calls.
Which would be if Dwight didn't exist, but Dwight exists, right? And so it's Dwight and Terrence Jones. So I do think that they just caught this team at a bad time.
And as much as I like Carlisle, and I think he'll run rings around McHale, and he'll win two more games in the series than he has any right to. I think this thing goes six, because and again, here's the other underrated thing is, like, you know, so walking the halls of Sloan last year, not this year, the year before, everybody complained about like the Houston didn't focus and they weren't there, and I think everything that was said about the Rockets, I think it's been the opposite this year. I think Harden's dialed in, and we've seen Harden be a killer in the playoffs before. I think he's going to be. I like to call him. He's going to be Jordan Harden in this first round. I think Harden is going to be just balls out amazing in this first round. And I think that Dallas is kind of going to whimper out. I think Dallas is going to bow out in five. Is my feeling about this series. What do you think?
I think it goes six for similar reasons, but I think that. It's one of those series that I'm far more confident in the result than the duration, and that happens. You know, that happens most of the time.
But you remember insane playoff Harden, right?
Oh yeah, of course. And I remember insane college Harden, which was dominant in a similar way.
I've seen and I've been watching him recently. I think Harden's just gonna. I mean, I think the series he's gonna, like, the only thing that can make this interesting is if we get playoff Rondo. I don't know the playoff Rondo still exists though. Right,
so I think we get it for a game or two. That's why I think it's going to go six. But the Mavs winning the series, I think it requires playoff Rondo, Time Machine Dirk, and Time Machine Tyson Chandler, and maybe Time Machine Richard Jefferson if Chandler Parsons is limited.
Yeah, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the Rondo Westbrook love Boogie Kobe Lakers?
Never going to happen. I mean, it'll have Rondo. Maybe it'll have Brook Lopez too, but it's not gonna have any of the other guys. Oh, and Kobe, obviously.
Kobe, yes, Kobe.
So let's move on. Memphis, Portland. I, you and I we talked a little bit about it before we started. I'm far more confident in Memphis than I think you are.
Yeah, Memphis is favored. They're -165, which means like Vegas kind of likes them. Blazers are +130, which means they're slight underdogs. I like Portland in this series. Because of the fact that I think Memphis is so banged up and so they've just not been good recently, and really the key to that team, the couple keys to that team is, like, look, it was Lee and Tony Allen, and underrated was and Araba Bulgara said this is, like, when they what did they trade? Somebody asked, we were having a conversation with myself, B-ball, Coach Nick, and Bulgara, and they said what did Memphis trade Jeff Green for? And Bulgaris said, any chance of winning the title. And the reason isn't Jeff Green's fault. It's like they traded away Quincy Poindexter. And then Courtney Lee got hurt and has been backed up the rest of the season, which means they have no outside shooting. Right? So all you really have to do on Memphis is you block the post and you dare them to shoot from outside because they can't do it. Right, and that didn't work when they had Lee and Poindexter because they could put some shooters out on the floor, but the only guy who can shoot on this team is Conley, and Conley's hurt, right? And you don't have Tony Allen, who's been their best player, and Mark hasn't been healthy. So I when I wrote the preview for this team, I said that eventually teams like that are built like this, like, they run out of steam because they get hurt and they get old, and I thought it might happen during the season, but it's happened in the second half, not the beginning. I don't trust Memphis. Now, the problem is, like, Portland is also banged up all to hell, right? So, but I do think Portland still has Lillard and Aldridge. And even though they don't have Wes Matthews, which is kind of a huge loss, they do. I think they have enough, right? Whereas I think that they can kind of pull this out. Like, this is the game where, like, you basically, you know how to say take the points, right? So I think both these teams, I think this is a 50-60 series. I would take the points, and this is why I like Portland.
It's interesting. I see it as at least a 75-25 for Memphis, but that's I just don't see Portland as having enough ammunition. You know, I think of it as one of those series. And I agree with you that if Conley doesn't play, it's very different, but it seems to me like he's just going to be sub-prime Mike Conley, and that happens. But I think that they still have enough, and I also think that they're going to get Portland's bigs in foul trouble, and that will swing some of it too, because Portland's depth is shoddy everywhere, not just in the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if both these teams were healthy, then
be fun.
This series would be, if both these teams were healthy, then these guys would, like, I think Memphis is at the two, and maybe Portland is at the three, so this series isn't happening. But God, it's. you know, Portland has a... I think the other thing is, like, particularly if Allen and Conley are banged up, like, there's nobody to make Lillard play for not playing defense, right? I think Lillard could be a big factor in this series, right? So...
Wouldn't it be fun for Jordan Adams to play in this series?
Yeah.
It's too early, like, for him, but it would be fun.
Yeah, I mean... I think this series is going seven, and I could see anything happen in the series.
A series that is not going seven, Golden State Pelicans.
Well, I think. So, do you think that? Okay, let's turn it around. So, the Vegas has this series as the Pelicans are 20-1, and you have to bet $6,000 to get 100 back if you bet on the Warriors, which is basically Vegas is saying, like, if three players on the Warriors went to a nightclub in New York. And like, we're not available for the rest of the playoffs, like, the Pelicans would still win the series, right? So, do you think it goes five, or do you think it goes four?
I think it goes five. I think that it's going to be one of those, you heard me talk about it with the Hawks, I think that the Warriors go up 3-0, and then they get the Pelicans, I think Matt Moore coined the term a gentleman's sweep. I think that's Matt, if it's somebody else, I give him credit, but I think that's what it's going to be.
Do you remember when the Jazz were hot and they kind of had an outside shot of making the playoffs?
And they
went into Golden State, and Golden State just basically punked them.
Yeah, I covered that game.
And Bogut basically punked Rudy. I mean, it was like, he threw the towel, and he was like, Golden State. What I like about Golden State is Golden State has a chip on their shoulder. Golden State is mean, right? They're not nice. They're not. So teams that play like that, I don't see how they're not going to take a game off, right? So yeah, I mean, it would have to be like Anthony Davis would have to go completely bonkers in one game.
Right? Well, I think that's, you talk about the refs. I think they could swing one game with Anthony Davis plus the refs. Plus, I mean, Gordon and Evans have played pretty well recently, and Drew does a good job on Steph.
Well, secretly, you know what? One of the biggest home, like, so New Orleans on a day's rest is one of the biggest home court advantages in the league, because. No, seriously,
I know, but maybe not with this Warriors team. They don't do as much of that.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I could see them getting distracted and just kind of look, but I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Curry is just, it's been kind of, like, this team has a switch, and they just don't like, they're like, they remind me of the first Rodman Pippen Jordan Bulls, which is like, that team just didn't like losing games, and it's the same thing with Golden, they don't like losing games. I feel like it's a sweep, and I rarely pick sweeps, but yeesh, I don't know how Monty Williams and kind of, I don't see it.
Do you think, like, we're going to see Bogut defending Davis a lot in that series? Because that would be certainly fun at the very least.
Well, I think you're not going to see a lot of David Lee, that's for certain.
Well, that, big stretch.
Yeah, you're not going to see a lot of David Lee. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think I think that'll happen. I think Bogut will be on there. I think, here's the thing, I like New Orleans going forward if they can figure out. They need to get a couple more pieces, but this is just not the series. I mean, I'm happy for them to be in. I would like them to win a series if they were in the East. So let's say, so New Orleans against Toronto, who wins?
I think, considering how well they've been playing recently, I think I go New Orleans.
Yeah, I think New Orleans could beat Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee, and I think a New Orleans Cleveland series would be interesting as hell.
Oh, I think Cleveland wipes the floor with them. They have no one to defend LeBron. No one.
True. That's true. I think, yeah, I know.
Well,
you're right.
And then who guards Kyrie? I mean, Drew's getting there, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. No, yeah,
I think they demolish them. But yeah, I mean, I feel happy for New Orleans. It's the same thing. It'll be a nice story. That's why I kind of hope they win at least one game, just to get that positive. And then we move on to the real series. And so we already talked a little bit about Houston or Dallas against the other teams. Either way, Memphis, Portland, I'm guessing it would require either of them to be fully healthy to beat the Warriors, and we're definitely not seeing that with Portland. We're probably not seeing that with Memphis.
Memphis is, and again, here's the, and I've said this, Memphis doesn't have enough shooting. If Memphis is playing the Clippers, San Antonio, or Golden State, right, these three teams will dare them to shoot the outside shot, right? They'll just say, look, we're just going to park some big bodies in the middle of the floor, and you're going to have to hit like 30-foot, like, and they're gonna actually they'll cover the 3-point line and leave them like all these mid-range jumpers open. Now again, if it's Portland, you can't do that because Portland is kind of built around hitting those mid-range shots, but Memphis can't do it. So like Memphis really right now with the personnel that they have, right, because they're not healthy. They can't beat Golden State, the Clippers, or San Antonio, right? This is just what I feel, because it's like, so all you have to do is watch what San Antonio did to them in the conference finals a couple years back, and just follow that playbook. And I think Golden State has the personnel and Golden State has done that. I've seen them do that to Memphis, and I've seen San Antonio do it to them as well, right? Particularly recently without shooters. Yeah. And I think the Clippers will do the same thing. They'll just take them out. So I think if I'm Golden State, I'd rather see Memphis than Portland. Wow. in that second round series, because Portland is so if it's Portland, then you know you're going to have to work for it. I think Portland's a tougher out, even though they're kind of banged up. They have no depth. LaMarcus is a problem. I think Lillard is a problem. Now I think it's a high scoring series. I think the Warriors win, but it's a series where they have to do more work than the Memphis series. And like Memphis fans might be mad at me because like I'm not saying look, if Memphis was healthy, it would be a different story. But you know, if you're a Memphis fan, you know you don't have enough shooting to hang with San Antonio, Golden State, or the Clippers. Do you think I'm being unfair when I say that?
I don't think so. I mean, I really like Conley, and I think they have defense. But against those teams, those three have such competent, good players all around the court that I feel they're going to find enough offense, and they'll have enough ways to stop you on defense that I don't think they would have a great shot. And even healthy, I think that Grizzlies-Warriors causes a lot of problems for them for the reasons that you've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think Portland, I mean, and again, it's a pity that Portland isn't healthy because yeah. I think Portland, if Portland were healthy, then Portland Warriors would be a great series. Like, I think Blazers Warrior would be kind of fantastic, but I just, they're not. They're, no. You know, Wes Matthews, not having Wes Matthews is kind of huge because even though, I mean, and we'll talk a little bit, when we talk about the Western Conference Finals, we'll talk a little bit about Clay and how Clay's not been Clay recently.
Yep.
But it would be a really interesting series because again, you're going to have to get somebody else to be that. But this we'll talk about it when the rest of the conference. So I think it's if Golden State over New Orleans, I think it's a sweep. I personally think it's a sweep. You think you might get one game, but I think it's a sweep. I think Golden State. If it's Golden State Memphis, I think it's five. I think if it's Golden State Portland, it's six, maybe seven. I think Golden State, because I think that's where the Golden State lack of experience kind of comes in, and they'll blow a game because they just haven't been there. It won't happen in the first round, but they'll blow a game in the second round because they just haven't been there before.
So it seems like you're pretty confident as I am that the Warriors will make it to the conference finals with the format. How do you, now that we're getting there, so there are a couple different potential conference finals. I think we'll focus mostly on the Spurs, but
Let's start with the Clippers, and we get to the big. Let's talk a little bit about the Clippers. So if it's Golden State versus the Clippers, right? So I think in that series, right, I think the Warriors are a really bad matchup for the Clippers because of their depth.
Yeah,
right?
I completely agree.
Because the Warriors have enough personnel to shut down they have, again, it comes down to like, so there are a couple of teams that have like the three or four world-class defenders, right? So Golden State has the three or four world-class defenders, so does San Antonio, right? And that's where the Clippers get into trouble, because if you can take the ball out of Chris Paul's hands, and then so Chris Paul is going to be guarding Curry in that series, right? So and Chris Paul will take Curry out. Like, so people focus on the fact that, like, you know, Curry supposedly broke Chris Paul's ankles. But if you look at the stat line for that series, like for that game, like Paul kept Curry from having a huge game, right? So the problem is like everybody else, like when you take those two, if you take Curry and Paul out of the equation, which they'll take each other out, like the rest of if you look at the Warriors 2 through 12 versus the Clippers 2 through 12, the Warriors are way better, right?
Yep.
Because Draymond can take Blake out, and then it's like, you know, and then you've got Clay, and then you've got like Bogut, and it just isn't fair because
and one other thing is that Kerr, like Popovich, would not hesitate to use the fact that the Clippers big men cannot shoot free throws against them. He will not hesitate.
they'll follow the hell out of them. And like when the Clippers second unit is in the in you, I mean, like the other problem the Clippers have, and they'll have it against San Antonio, but it'll get more pronounced as this goes on, which is the Clippers cannot have their second unit on the floor. Right? They just cannot have it. Like I actually think the Clippers versus Houston would be kind of interesting, because the Clippers cannot have their second unit out against anybody who's competent, right? Because they'll just get wiped off the floor because their second unit is so bad. I had Big Baby on my team, on my Celtics, like 5 years ago, and this Big Baby ate that Big Baby, right? So it's just not going to work. So I think if it's Clippers Warriors, I think the Clippers, just because it's Chris Paul, they'll neutralize each other, there'll be some whistles. I think it would probably go six, but it wouldn't be, I mean, I think the Warriors would clearly dominate that series. I just, again, it's just 1-3, the Clippers are really good, but it's just the rest of their team is so bad. Actually, 1-4, let me give Redick some credit. Redick has been having a fantastic season. But you know who they could really use on the Clippers right now?
Beyond Eric Bledsoe?
Jared Dudley?
Yeah, of course.
Jared Dudley would be really helpful on
He'd
this team.
He'd be starting.
They traded, I think, didn't they give a pick away with Jared Dudley?
Yes, sir.
I think they gave, that's like the worst, like how do you like, I mean,
because
God.
They needed the space to sign Spencer Hawes.
Oh, God, that's, I mean, and I like the Spencer Hawes trade, but there could have been some other option, because if you had Jared Dudley, then Jared Dudley would be extremely useful against San Antonio, it would be extremely useful against Golden State, because that gives you, then you can roll out with like Blake, DeAndre, Chris Paul, Redick, and Dudley at the three, and Dudley can cover four sometimes, he can cover threes, he can cover twos, and you could definitely use him both those series, but they don't, you know, and then they also don't have Jamal, right, or is Jamal back?
He'll be back, but I don't know if he'll be back, you
yeah,
know?
So yeah, I mean, the Clippers, as I said, they would probably be favored to come out of the East, but just, I don't think they can hang with San Antonio and Golden State,
Now we get the headliners, Spurs, Warriors, how do you see it?
So remember what I said. I think Pop has been developing a strategy to beat the Warriors for the entirety of 2015, because he very specifically turned the offense over to Kawhi and said, we're going to run to Kawhi. And why I say this is specifically to go against the Warriors is because if you're running the offense to Kawhi Leonard, right, that means the Warriors have to have Iguodala on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to cover him with Draymond. Because if you cover him with Draymond, then Timmy's going to kill you, right? And so you basically have to have Iguodala on the floor. So basically, the Warriors have to go. They have to go. It's going to be Curry, Clay, Iggy, Dre, and Bogut.
I think
right? That's
their best lineup, though. So
right.
Good for her if they do it.
So basically, that means you've got Tiago and Tim on, and David Lee can't be on the floor. Right, so basically, it's Tiago and Tim on
Draymond and
Bogut and Draymond. It's Curry and so on offense. Curry and Clay are being covered by Danny Green and Kawhi, and then that means it's Iguodala. Then you can hide either. It's either gonna be Manu, Tony, or actually, if Patty's actually in shape, then it kind of becomes interesting. Because if you put Patty on Iggy, then like who's making, like basically you can take, like the Spurs can take everybody out. And I do think that, I don't know that Iguodala can still cover Kawhi, right?
I think he can do a pretty good job, but not, you know, I think he could do well, but there would be challenges other places as well.
But I mean, it's been a thing because, and secretly, like last year, like the, I think the three best, and I did this these numbers, the three best jump shooters in the NBA last season, I think it was Curry, Kawhi, and I forget who the third player was. I think it might be Korver, were the three best jump shooters in terms of like percentages versus like the league average for at each position. And just, they just never ran any plays for him, and it didn't run it. Like by having him on the floor, because if you run the offense through Kawhi as opposed to having him float around, then you change the personnel that Golden State has to play, and you put him in a position where they don't have all the shooters around. If you're not running the offense through there, then you can play somebody else. You can play Leandro Barbosa, or you can play. If you're running the offense through Kawhi, you can't have Leandro on the floor.
Nope.
Right? Because he'll. So you're forcing the Warriors to put Iggy on the floor, and you're basically. And I said this. It's the series. The Warriors and Spurs is going to come down to whether or not like Andre Iguodala can hit open looks. Right? I think that's what that series is going to come, which is going to be kind of insane. Now, again, Iguodala is a really good player, right? So the fact that, like, it's coming down to a guy, like, but he hasn't been that great. So I think history and my gut tells me the Spurs are going to win the series, right? So Golden State is the kind of team that loses the conference finals, right? Because they just haven't been there before. Now, would I be surprised if they won? No, because they've been so good and so dominant. But, it's the Spurs, and the Spurs have also been so good and so dominant. This is really, to me, this is like reminiscent of like that 72 Bucks team that lost to the 72 Lakers team, right? Which were like, the numbers on those two teams were insane, right? So, in essence, the Spurs are a little bit like the Bucks in that they're coming off the title. And this is basically their fourth go around, right? Because they went to the conference finals the year before, then two finals, and then this is the run. So I would be more like 3 months ago, I would have been like, "What the hell is going on?" But like once they turn the team over to Kawhi, then it's kind of a different animal. I do think that the Spurs win, but I think it goes seven, and I could see it going either way.
Yeah, and what I've had some struggles with is then thinking about how the winner of that series, and I think that series is going to happen, goes against whoever wins the East, probably the Cavs, in the NBA Finals. I think that the Western team is a better team overall, top to bottom, including coach and everything. But how do you, from what you've seen, how do you think that playing a tough road, particularly a tougher conference finals, would affect that NBA Finals?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think that San Antonio and Golden State have done they're teams that like this is a problem for, and they're teams that it isn't a problem for. I think San Antonio and Golden State have done a really good job at keeping their players healthy and rested, right? I do think that there is a factor that the Spurs have like just been doing this for 4 years at this point, so it's really rough, right? It's really rough to make that third finals, right? And it's really rough to kind of stay healthy, so. I do think so again, so if we're talking, let's go through possible finals matchup. I think it won't be and the Golden State's the same thing. Golden State's deep, and I think they'll be able to kind of manage their resources. And I think Golden State's road is much easier than San Antonio. San Antonio would have to go through the Clippers, Houston, and then Golden State to get to the finals, right? So I do think they have the personnel. I do think they've been here before, but it could be something like the 2010 Celtics. Well, like eventually you just run out of players, right? You just run out of bodies. You just don't have enough. So possible finals matchup. So let's start with Golden State. So if it's Golden State against Chicago.
I think the Warriors win that going away.
Even healthy Chicago with like, they'll slow it down. They got size. So how much do you trust Bogut's health?
I trust it pretty solidly, actually. I think it's been there. And I think that what we saw when the Warriors was kind of in that middle of that run when people said, oh, they're really good, is when they put a pretty solid beatdown on the Bulls at the United Center.
And yeah, I think it comes down to whether, I mean, David Lee cannot see the floor in a series against the Bulls.
Again, not surprised.
Yeah, but
Draymond, if they put Powell on Draymond, it's just going to be destruction. Because even though he's not the greatest shooter, he's going to get so many looks and he has no problem shooting him, and so the value of that is going to be pretty substantial. Who's going to guard Curry? Are they going to put Jimmy Butler on him?
One thing that plays against the Warriors, and I think the reason they lose the sand, the Warriors aren't going to get any calls in the playoffs, and it'll get progressively tougher as it goes along. In the finals against Chicago, I don't think the Warriors get a single call. Like, I don't think they get a call.
I think they win in five or six anyway.
I think Butler could like basically clothesline Curry, and he might get a foul call, right? I'm seriously thinking like it's what happened to Oklahoma when they got to the finals, where Harden could get mugged and he wouldn't get a call, and I think that would be a factor in that series. I think it goes six. I agree that if it's a Warriors Bulls series, I think the Warriors win in six, and it's specifically because the refs don't help them at all in that series.
Then the more interesting ones to me are Warriors-Cavs and Warriors-Hawks. I think Warriors-Hawks, the Warriors have a notable advantage. The Hawks are really good. I think that people have underappreciated their talent and how well they played this year when they've been at their peak. But the Warriors, at their peak, I think are a much better team.
Man,
That would be a great series. It would be a great series.
It'd be basketball porn for people like us.
I think the league throws their body in front of that series, but I think it would be. I mean, I literally think that the league doesn't want that series at all.
But so, if the options are the Spurs and the Warriors, I think they'd rather have the Warriors. But I mean, obviously, then you're saying it more in terms of the Cavs Hawks. But I don't think it's that big a deal anymore. It's not like they're horrible markets. They're great stories any way it slices. If it's those teams.
Yeah, I think if it's those two teams, I think it goes seven because I think there's enough coaching and it'll be like adjustments on both sides. Things will happen. The Hawks have a lot of options and personnel and ways to attack you, and they'll move around. And I mean, they're really good. I mean, they're solid at every position. They got depth. They got people coming off the bench. Like, I mean, like the Clippers would kill for Dennis Schroeder. They would kill for Dennis Schroeder. Well, actually, they should kill. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, he's not related to Doc, so I don't know if he would actually kill for him. But or he didn't play against him in the playoffs like 5 or 6 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, that would be a really interesting series. I do think in the end, the Warriors would win because they're more talented. And in that series, they would get the call. So I do think the Warriors, if it's Warriors-Hawks, the Warriors would win because of home court. That's my take on that series.
Yeah, I think you're right on that point. And then the last one with the Warriors is Warriors Cavs, which wouldn't be necessarily as fun in terms of the prettiness of the play, but I think intellectually would be one of the more interesting possible series in the entire
playoffs. I think the Warriors win in five. That series.
Whoa, against the Cavs?
Yeah, I think the Warriors win in five. Because here's the thing. All you have to do in that series, right? So it's you have to take LeBron out, and the Warriors have all the, like, they have three or four guys. They can throw Iggy at him. They can throw Iggy. They can throw they can use some Clay. They can throw Harrison Barnes. They can throw a bunch of bodies at LeBron.
They can throw David Lee just to see if he like throws out his back or something.
Yeah, but I mean they got enough personnel. They got and like. So, and it comes down, so it's wing deep. So, okay, so who are the wing defenders on, like, the defense on the Cavs is just terrible. So who's covering Curry and Clay in that series?
I assume you're putting LeBron on one of them, and you're putting either Shumpert or Kyrie on the other.
No. LeBron's going to have to, like, it's going to be like against Kawhi last year, where, like, you know, LeBron's going to have to work himself ragged in that series.
Yep.
And it also comes down, so, like, the ideal situation is, like, you'd have to run the offense with Kevin Love. I mean, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. So I think that series, Warriors-Cavs would be a bad matchup for the Cavs. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think the Cavs are necessarily win to build the title this year, right? This is a year for the Cavs to get there, right? I think the Cavs getting to the conference finals is a win. That them getting to the finals is a big win, and I don't think they need to win this year.
Because, I agree.
They have some holes, and they have a lot of guys who just haven't been there before.
And they have a lot of guys who haven't been a part of their team for that long. I mean, you think about all the changes they made in season.
Yeah, they don't really have a point guard. They basically, LeBron's their point guard. They're doing a lot of ISO offense. I don't trust their defense at all, particularly against a team like the Warriors. So I mean, I would basically go Warriors in five.
So then, if we turn it over and go to the Spurs, I feel like Spurs Cavs would be similarly ugly, like you think Warriors Cavs would be. What about that? And then I feel like the Spurs would run the Hawks into the ground.
Let's talk a little bit about the. So let me put Spurs Hawks and Spurs Cavs in perspective. So do you think this Cavs team is better or worse than last year's Miami team?
Worse, right now.
Okay, so worse. Do you think this Spurs team is better or worse than last year's Spurs team?
A little bit worse, partially because of health.
I think actually they were, but I think because of the fact that they're running everything to Kawhi, that kind of shifts it, and I think they're about even. Because it's a different kind of, you have to prepare for them differently defensively. You have to, like, it's like a different, it just kind of changes things. And you'll see in the playoffs, like, a lot of people will be open at you. This is why they won all those games, like, in a row, because, like, it just kind of short-circuits you. It's like, oh, God, they have a guy who can go from the top of the wing to the basket. What the hell do we do? And then post us up. So I'd say that. So that's why I think, I mean, like, and again, LeBron wants any part of Kawhi again.
So I do think that it would be. I think the Cavs against either the Warriors, I think against either the Warriors, the Spurs, or even the Clippers, it would be. I would be picking the Western team in five over the Cavs. I think Hawks is more interesting. I think Hawks Spurs would be fun as heck, but I think at the end of the day, it comes down. So basically, who are you putting on Kawhi in that series?
I guess Damari Carroll.
I think that basically the Spurs can kind of neutralize them in the post, and they can stick Danny Green on Korver. And so basically, it's gonna come down to Teague, and they'll probably put Kawhi on. So it's Damari who's. I think the Spurs win that series just because they've been there before. They'll get the calls, and
yeah, again, I think the Spurs win that series.
I think there's no way. I think it's gonna be more like six.
I think five or six. I think.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any way that the league allows that series to happen. I think if they have to call Dick Bebeda back from retirement, that series of it just. I don't think there's any chance in hell Spurs Hawks happens. Right. I think the calls won't allow. It's a remote chance that series happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. One of the things that we talked about that you alluded to was the idea of reseeding, and I don't know if you read the piece that I wrote today, but there's a lot of there are a lot of different ways that you could make the playoffs different. Are there any that you particularly like?
So I was thinking about this. So let me throw a proposal to you. So what if, right? So the top 12 teams get in, right? And then you have the next 8 teams. So teams 13 through 20 are playing for the last 4 playoff spots and the top 4 lottery seats.
The problem with that is it creates some perverse incentives. I think that you want teams to be playing in different ways. Also, what I would worry about in that kind of system is that it would be too much time off for the best teams.
I was thinking you could even go to 16. You could even go to 16 and say, look, you say, look, the top 14 teams get in, and then the last six, like the other 16, are playing for 2 playoff spots, and then like say like ping pong balls, I don't know, 2 through 5, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had something similar to that. I proposed years ago that I thought what they should do is they should do a tournament of the teams that didn't make the playoffs just for the number 1 overall pick, which I think would be really fun. So then you have a 14 team tournament just for number 1.
Well, see, but seriously, thing. So let's say so what I propose, which is like, so the top 12, so it's the top 12 get in, right? And then you have 4 teams that are out. So New Orleans, it would be New Orleans, Oklahoma, Milwaukee, Boston, Phoenix, and Brooklyn, or Brooklyn or Indiana, right? So those are the teams that would get in, and those teams are playing for like the last 4 playoff spots and like ping pong balls 2 through 3, 4, and 5, right? And then you just do it over a week. It just would just take you a week. You give everybody a week off. We start the playoffs not this Saturday, the next Saturday. Right? I'm actually also in favor. I think I keep saying that the NBA should target the 4th of July weekend for Game 7. And so we should, like if you think about the sports calendar, there's nothing happening on 4th of July. So why not have, like, that weekend have the target for the Game 7 of the finals, right? You move everything back a week, you have
4th of July. They don't need to be scared of baseball, I don't think. I think it's a very separate thing. I mean, you start to shift some things in terms of ideas of summer league and all that, but I think you can justify it, I'll say that at the very least. But there are kind of more wholesale changes that would need to happen if you wanted to do that, just in terms of making sure that the players are ready and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem is, like, you know, so who got left that should have gotten in? So, I mean, Oklahoma got left on the floor, and Phoenix. Those are the 2 teams that got left, and I think so.
I mean, you could justify if you're Utah. I mean, Utah would be definitely more interesting than the Nets.
But not
more interesting than the Bucks, who got the 6th in the East.
So, I mean, the simplest change would be to say, look, just throw the Thunder into the Eastern playoffs, right? Just throw the Nets out, Thunder play the Hawks in the first round, right? Or the Celtics play the Hawks, the Bucks play the Cavs, and the Thunder play, would it be, no, it would be Chicago, right?
Yeah, I mean, depending, I think, I don't like the whole idea of throwing some West teams in the East one. I think that if you're going to do something like that, you just do top 16 and run with it.
Well, you could throw New Orleans in the East, and New Orleans is basically in the East, right?
Well, that leads to different issues. But the question with that, if you throw a team from one conference in, is do you put them in by their record, or do you put them in just in the last spot? Because both of those, you can make an argument both ways, but I feel like both of them have unfairness to them.
No, I would basically go. I would go by record. So basically, like, I would kick. So the Nets get kicked out. The Celtics play the Hawks. The Bucks play the Cavs. The Thunder play, that would be an insane series. And then the Wizards play the Raptors. That would be the way I would do it. I think Thunder Chicago would be like the ABC would love that series.
Oh, of course.
That would be amazing. Even if you went 1 through 16 and just played 1 through 16. So it would be Golden State Boston. Right, so that would be amazing. I think it's Atlanta and the Bucks, right, and then Houston and Oklahoma City, which would be amazing. New Orleans and the Clippers, which would be I think that would be a more competitive series than the Pelicans against the Warriors. I mean, do you disagree?
Oh, of course.
And then you get the Grizzlies against the Wizards, which I think Grizzlies against the Wizards would be kind of perversely interesting, because I do think that. You know, that's the Grizzlies get a bit of a break, and maybe they can get healthy for round two. And I think the Wizards can have enough talent to make it interesting. And then it would be San Antonio against Toronto, which I think San Antonio wins that easily. And then I like the Cleveland Dallas thing would be an interesting series. And I think also Portland Chicago would be interesting. So I think
Portland Chicago would be a little bit of a bloodbath, but well, it'd also be a mash award. But that's just the way it is.
But I mean, I think that making sure that you get the best teams in and you get more competitive matchups in round one is interesting. I mean,
that's why I support teams, and I think you and I have talked about this. I support high-end teams being able to choose their opponents, because I think it's a reward for teams that do well, and it eliminates some of the luck element, like we were talking about the Blazers-Chicago series. I feel that way, but I know why some people don't like it.
Would you be in favor of giving out buys?
No, it's not in the way that the NBA does it. It's too long of a time to be off. I think that you would do that, and I don't think this is something that's come up before. I feel like if in an ideal world, to me, less than half the teams in a league should make the playoffs. So I feel like if you were going to go to a buy system, it would be that you're shortening it and then adding a little bit in. I've heard some people talk about expanding it, and I really disagree with that.
Well, no, I think you and I have talked about this before, which I've said, like, I would be okay with having an extra round, which is a three-game series, which is played, like, home, and then neutral site, and then just having an additional four teams in. And just basically they play, and then we reseed after it's played. So basically...
I don't think it's worth it.
Just and you do game one today, you do game two on Saturday, and then you do game three on Sunday. Just get it done this weekend. You start the playoffs on Tuesday, and then you could, I mean, like, if you were adding four teams, so you basically be adding the Thunder, the Suns, the Pacers, and the Jazz.
But I don't think you're swinging anything in terms of the title. I think it's just like when if they're adding extra teams to the NCAA tournament, all you're doing is you're just getting some cheap revenue, and you're doing that. You're not getting anything beyond
which is why I say throw in the seeds, which is like throw in the ping pong balls. Have it be like the last couple playoff spots and the hell, make it 1 through 4. Throw in the ping, so you have to get in. Like, so just kill tanking. So tanking gets you nothing. You have to get in. If you want to get a ping pong ball, you have to get into the to the playoff tournament. Or if not, you're not getting the ping pong ball. And like the worst team in the league would still get the fifth pick. But if you want the top four seeds, you have to get into that play-in.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting idea. We can have another discussion on it another time. Is there anything else that you want to convey to listeners?
No, I think I think I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I think I'm really excited for. So what's the series you're most excited about in the first round?
Oh, Clippers Spurs easily.
Yeah, Clippers. I think I'm excited about Clippers Spurs, and the Celtics heart of me is excited about the Cavs. So I think the Cavs win, but I think it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I think that I'm interested in almost, I think, all of the West series more than all of the East series in the first round, but I'm very excited about Cleveland, Chicago, and whatever the conference finals is there.
See, this is not, it's not as good as the slate as last year, because I think Golden State, Houston, and I think Memphis, so Golden State and Houston are clearly better than their opponent, and I think Memphis, Portland is just, if those both those teams were healthy, it would be a blockbuster series. I think it'll be fun, but it'll be a little sad, too. It'll have a little bit of a morbid spectacle kind of appeal is the trick. I think it's like Toronto Washington. Toronto Washington is going to be a competitive series, but God, I would want to watch it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking time. It's always great to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Thanks again to Arturo Galletti for taking the time to come on. You can read him at basketballnumbers.com. It's his new site. You can also follow him on Twitter at Arturo Galletti. That's ArturoGalletti. Love having him on. Love talking to him. And as I said, if you didn't listen to it already, I have with Seth Partnow. That is the, I guess you call it the first part. They're very separate conversations. And then also, if you are not listening to the Dunked On Basketball Podcast, which is Nate Duncan's brand new daily podcast, it's excellent. I am a little bit biased because I am a part of the early episodes. I'm helping him out with it. And we did a playoff preview on what was Friday's episode. So that came out yesterday. Or actually, I guess it technically came out this morning. So thank you so much for listening. I appreciate any insight that you have. You can email me at daniel.larue@realgm.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Danny LaRue, DannyLeroux. I read everything. I respond to as much as I can, and I appreciate it. So thank you so much for listening. Take care, enjoy the playoffs, and make it a great day.